this together from the depths of our heart tonight.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in
is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the
Good morning. How are you doing today? Thank you. How are we doing today? Today's a great day, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's hot outside. Somebody's barbecuing today. If you're barbecuing, raise your hand. Hey, I'm coming over to your house. Anyway. All righty. So how many of us are blessed today? How many of us actually believe that we are blessed? Come on, let me hear a shout if you actually believe that you're blessed today. If you know for a fact that your God is fighting on your behalf and he's already called you blessed, let me hear a shout, please. Alrighty. Now just sing this after me. Sing blessed.
Blessed.
Yeah, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing blessed.
Blessed.
Yes, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing blessed.
Blessed.
Yes, we yes, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing blessed.
Blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Sing blessed.
Blessed.
Yes, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Yes, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
If you believe it, let me hear it. for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Let me hear you.
Blessed in the city.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the field.
Come on.
We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast out every stronghold.
Poverty, mercy. Yeah.
For the devil.
Is anybody joyful? Come on, let me see it then. We're singing that we're blessed. Let's show him that we actually believe that we're blessed. So if you want to dance, just dance. If you want to clap, just clap with us. All right, we're going to start from the beginning. Repeat after me. Sing blessed.
Blessed.
We are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing blessed.
Blessed.
Yes, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing blessed.
Blessed.
Yes, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Yes, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Come on, let's take it to the verse. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
We cast
down every stronghold.
Sickness and poverty must cease. Why? For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Blessed when we come and when we go. We
cast down every stronghold.
Sickness
and poverty must cease.
Yeah. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Sing late in the midnight hour. God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Come on, let's sing that out.
Late in the midnight hour. God's gonna turn it around. Gonna work in your favor.
Come on, let's just get low.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Last time, let's do it again.
Hey, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Last time, we're gonna sing this.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. Sickness and poverty must cease.
What?
For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
How many of us actually believe that the devil is defeated? Because the devil, he's defeated. Come on, let's say that.
You are defeated. Sing, we are blessed.
Awesome.
Pour out our praise.
Sing, it's your
Are you?
on, sing it out.
Great are you, Lord.
And I'll pour out my praise to you.
Great are you, Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Break every chain, break every chain. Sing it out. There is power in the name of Jesus. Sing, there is power. Break every chain, break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain, sing break, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, oh Lord, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Rising up. Set free is free indeed. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. You can know this. You are no longer tethered. You are no longer held down. You are free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Shout, I'm free. Even addictions in the room. In the name of Jesus, if you're bound to an addiction, shout, I'm free. Jesus is the one who makes us free. Amen. I said amen. How many of you excited to be free this morning? Why don't you go share the good news? Go find five people you don't know and tell them, I am free in Jesus' name. Come on, get right out of your chair. Go find somebody you don't know. Tell them, I'm free in Jesus' name.
Here in your light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill.
If you are between the ages or classrooms,
where's the age? Where's that age?
Your glory on display.
If you are between 7th and 9th grade, we have a special class for you. If you go right out the door, we have a place just for you. Great ministry, just for that age bracket. We want to thank you that you're going to make your way out.
Of grace consuming every space.
Come on, you still have a minute and a half to say hi to somebody you've never met before. Don't be a snob in the house. Find somebody, shake their hand and say, well, good morning, you look just marvelous. Praise the Lord. Did everybody meet at least one person they've never met before? If not, man, you gotta go. 1 minute left, 1 minute remaining to say hi to somebody. Everybody, do me a favor, turn right around to the person next to you or behind you and say, well, good morning, how are you today? Praise the Lord. Here comes some video announcements. They're very important. Make sure you're paying attention this morning. A lot going on in the kingdom.
Guess what? Listen, we are doing our annual Uproar Park cleanup at Eldridge Park on June 17th. We're starting at 10 a.m. We're looking for volunteers as well as sponsors. If you're interested in helping out, make sure you come and see us at the table out front in the foyer, the Uproar table. You can get a packet there and get information. But make sure you sign up, volunteer or sponsor. We need your help. Hey everyone, tomorrow is our senior breakfast. That means that anybody over the age of 50 is able to come. We have breakfast with our pastors, a time of fun and fellowship together. So make sure you're at Cracker Barrel tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. sharp. Hey, here's Tabernacle family. We have our traditional Father's Day game coming up with the Pioneers on June 18th, 5 p.m. We want you to invite your family and your fathers out. We got free tickets for you. Make sure you come at the Hub and pick them up and be there at Father's Day on June 18th, 5 p.m.
Well, good morning, His Tabernacle family. That was better than the first service. First service was still waking up. But we just want to welcome you this morning. We're happy you're here. Do we have any guests, first-time visitors? If you're a first-time visitor, would you just lift your hand? We don't want to embarrass you. We're not going to make you stand. We actually have a gift for you. So the ushers are going to get you a gift. If you could lift your hands, please. Welcome. We love you. We're so happy you're here. Also, right after service, to my left, your right, we have a guest reception where we want to invite you to come and have a cup of coffee with us. We want to talk to you. You'll get to meet Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda. And yeah, it's just a really good time. If you're watching via live stream, I also want to welcome you. You are in for a powerful word today, so don't go anywhere.
We want to encourage you guys to get involved throughout the week with our Next Steps program. We have step one, which is rock solid faith, and that will truly impact and change your life. We have Pastor Spencer's rock solid faith on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And then we have Wednesday morning, Pastor Dan does one at 9 a.m. And then we've got Pastor Palco and Thursday nights at 6 p.m. So if you are not involved and have never gone through Rock Solid Faith, choose one of those times and commit every single week to be there. We've also got step two out here. Turn to your neighbor, say step two. Pastor Obi is leading the spiritual warfare class Tuesday night, 7 p.m. I heard it was an incredible time. So if you've gone through step one, you're now eligible to come through step two, and we want to encourage you guys to be there. We also, as you saw on the screen, the Father's Day game. We want to encourage every single family to come out on Father's Day, 5 p.m. at Dunfield, and you can get the tickets right out in the hub. And then the real reason that we're up here is because we're really excited because Awaken's monthly service, which Awaken is the 18 to 30-year-old range, and we're having a service tonight, but beforehand, we're going to have ridiculous fun and do a mini carnival with a dunk tank and deep-fried Oreos and all sorts of games. So if you're between the age of 18 and 30, could you just lift your hand up? And anybody on our team, let's start passing these out. Could you guys keep your hands up? Our team wants to invite you to come tonight. But 5:30 is when it's going to start, and we're going to have an amazing time. You're going to meet a ton of new people. And just keep your hands up if you are between 18 and 30. Jody, you are not 18 to 30. So, guys, we love you so much. And Pastor Rhonda is now going to talk about Encounter Weekend.
Yes, we just got off our sixth phenomenal Encounter Weekend. Absolutely incredible time. And I just wanted each one of the ladies to share one word or one sentence about what God did on this weekend. I'll start off by saying Jesus changes everything. At every age and every stage you are in Jesus, Jesus changes everything.
All right, I just learned that I have to keep it simple. I learned that obedience to the word of God leads to destiny, and I also learned skinny arms.
All right, ladies, show your skinny arm. We learned, this is a practical tip. When you're taking a photograph, you know when your arm lays down, it flattens out, and it just looks like 10 times bigger than it actually is. So what you're supposed to do is put your arm up on your hip, and it looks super skinny. I have pictures to prove it. We all learned something very practical, too. All right, I learned, my takeaway was that I cannot control people, but I can control my response to people.
Amen.
And then with that comes a freedom to forgive.
Amen.
I learned I have so much joy through Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to point Jenny out. This is Jenny, everybody. G-I-N-N-Y. Jenny, her husband passed away in March. She started coming to church in April. And she went on Encounter with us this weekend, and we got to watch her whole countenance change. So it is joy. And this morning when she came in, she was able to say, "It's a wonderful day," for the first time since, and really, really experienced that joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I learned that you're never too old for God to just change everything up.
I've learned not to wait. I've been in ministry for 22 years. I've been married for 21 and been a mom for 19. And I have waited that long to unplug intentionally to do something like this. So moms, don't wait. And moms, singles, it doesn't matter.
I learned to break every chain.
God doesn't give up on you, so you can't either. There's no excuse. Go to Encounter.
I learned so many things, but the one I'm going to share is Jesus is my best friend. I don't need anybody else to tell my worries to or anything. I just need him. And Kata got some amazing spirit-filled aunts and grandmas this weekend. So
what I learned is that his spirit consumes you.
I was able to let go and be free.
Amen. And I was instructed by God to allow him to control my pace.
I just want to encourage all of you ladies,
for the 25th time.
So I have to choose to be obedient. So if you all catch me going too fast, I'm holding myself accountable to you. Tell me to slow down.
But what we do, this encounter weekend is a movement of God that His hand of blessing is upon it, and radical transformations are happening in women, all of the women who have gone. So ladies, don't miss out. The next one is November 2nd through 4th. The deposit is $100 to hold your spot. We only have 16 spots, and it's absolutely the first deposit due by August 15th. So if you want to attend an encounter, contact me.
Amen, Pastor Spencer. Thank you.
It's so exciting seeing lives change, amen? I think that's what I love the most. My wife and I, as an evangelist, I traveled for some years as an evangelist, and it was very successful. God moved in amazing ways. We saw so many miracles and signs and wonders. But you know, one thing I missed when I was on the road as an evangelist was watching how God changes people. And God takes each one of us. And how many of you know you got at least one or two issues in your life? Amen. How many of you remember when you gave your heart to Jesus? Wasn't it awesome to see how God transitions you and changes you, makes you a brand new person? It's so much fun. And as a pastor, my wife and I just want to say thank you for allowing us to pastor you. It is so fun in this house watching how God changes our lives. Amen. Today, we're about ready to give. Now, remember, we're changing this. Now, it's no longer giving, but we're going to be returning. Turn to somebody and say, it's the time to return. How can you give something to somebody who already owns it? It's already theirs. You know, if I borrowed your car and I took it out and you were so gracious to lend it to me to be a good steward of it, and I took your car out and I brought it back full of gas and I said, here, I'm giving you your car. And you're looking at me and go, what do you mean, giving me? I gave it to you. You're returning it to me. When we give our offering, or when we bring our offering to the Lord, we're returning what's already God's. That's the important part to get in our spirit. The tithe and the offering is returning. That's already His. You know, it's funny. I don't know if Brother Bruce remembers this, but a few years ago, we set up a bank teller. You know, you have, you know, the bank teller, and you have the bars in front like the old-time cowboy one. And we had a family, quote-unquote, in a skit, go on vacation to go on to Disneyland. And when they left on the first of the month, which was the day of their mortgage payment being due. And so they didn't make their mortgage payment. They took the mortgage payment money and they went down and they went on vacation with it. Well, they came home and the bank called them up and said, your mortgage payment is late. And they said, well, what do you mean our mortgage payment is late? We don't owe a mortgage payment this month. The week we were due, we were in the house. We were on vacation, so we spent the money. And the bank said, no, you still owe that money even though you weren't there, because that's the agreement that we came into as covenant of what is responsible. I want to remind you that in the kingdom of God, the tithe is holy to the Lord. Can I hear an amen? This week, I got rebuked. Has anybody ever heard of, you know, has anybody ever been rebuked before? I was rebuked by Alberta. Alberta came into the office and said, Pastor, I have a problem with you. And I said, okay. I said, what's up, Alberta? And she said, well, on Sunday morning, you stood up and said, we have 13% of His tabernacle that tithe. And then you said you're believing God to double that at 26%. She said, you're wrong. And I said, okay. She said, you should be believing for 100% tithers. She said, if you're not speaking it, how are you ever going to get it? She said, you got to believe God, pastor. She rebuked me. I said, okay, ma'am, I'll believe with you. We believe in God that 100% of you that are in this room are going to be tithers. You know, we started training our children to be tithers the moment they got their first dollar. Every dollar is a tithe of, what's 10% of a dollar? 10 cents. We started teaching our kids that. And then we said, don't just give a tithe. Make sure you give an offering. And our children today are some of the largest givers. Honestly, I love being around my boys and my daughter. But my children will normally, if they bring their checkbook, they're going to empty their checkbook at a conference, especially if the bishop is receiving the offering. Why is that? Because they've learned you can't outgive God. These are principles that you learn, and I challenge you in this house today. If you've never been a tither, today is your day to begin. Turn to someone and say, today is my day. Shout, I'm a tither. Amen. So today I just want to encourage you. to make sure that you're tithing, stepping into God's blessing. And let's all stand to our feet. If you're a guest in the house, what we do is we bring our tithe and offering to the Lord and we proclaim the word of the Lord over it. How many believe the Bible is true? Then let's declare the word of God over our finances. Are you ready? If I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord as you return to Jesus what is already His. If you're watching by live stream, I want to encourage you today. We have between 200 and 300 people that watch every single week right here on live stream. That means you're pretty consistent. This is your family. This is where you're getting the word. This is your church. That means you need to be a tither. Ben, right now, we only have like 5 people that are online that out of the 200 or 300 that watch every week that tithe. I challenge you right now to become a tither in the kingdom of God. God will bless you. So make sure that you go right now to the give button, hit give, or text to give, and make sure that you're a giver, a tither, and giving offerings right here at His Tabernacle Family Church, your home. We love you.
We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Shout, I'm blessed. Tell somebody next to you, I'm blessed. Amen. Whatever you put your hand to shall prosper. I believe that without question. God wants you to prosper and be blessed. We have a video for you real quick. The generous church, and we are without question a generous church. I am so excited. My son went to a DSS meeting this last week in our community, and it was so interesting as he came back with this testimony. He said, Dad, all these people in the community, these community people of authority, were coming and saying, we know who you are. We know who His Tabernacle is, and thank you for what you're doing in the community. Isn't it awesome that we are literally in the middle of a cornfield but shaping a region? I want you to know that. That's exactly what we're doing, shaping a region for the kingdom of God. You know, we're getting ready to step into what's called the generous campaign. What do we mean by campaign? It is to where we are going to start sowing. How many of you are investors in the room? Every hand goes up as you say investor. Shout, I'm an investor. Exactly. Every single person is an investor. You are a spiritual investor. You are an investor in relationships, and you are a financial investor. You see, every one of us are called to this level of giving in every facet of our life. And in this generous campaign, I just want to brag on the body of Christ here. Every single Sunday, we run the bus down to Elmira and bring folks who are unable to get here. That of itself is a blessing to many. We then bus in at least 150 50 children every single Wednesday night to minister to them, to feed them, to clothe them, and best of all, get the gospel in them. Every Thursday, the bus goes down again and picks up a whole crew of young men and young women who are teenagers living a rough life, many of them living a hard life where drugs are normal and abuse is there, and many of them are not loved. But yet they can come to this house and God can change their life. Amen? It's so exciting to see all the outreaches we do. The two parades we were just in this year, and every week His Word TV is on ministering between 5,100 and 5,500 people every single week are watching the telecast. It is so exciting seeing how you, this house, is changing this region for the glory of God. In this generous campaign, we're getting ready to step into another season of growth. What do we mean by that? I believe growth comes because God is a soul-winning God. And when the church looks at soul-winning, things change. So we're going to ask the body of Christ to be generous in this campaign. We need to raise $125,000. Now, a lot of people start choking when you hear that. But the great part is, in this size church, it's easy. In this size church, it's just a few, every one of us doing something. But I want to break it down for you real quick. If 500 people, 500 adults in this house will give $25 a week above their tithe, that's just a few Starbucks, then in 10 weeks, that equals $125,000. It doesn't take a lot. It takes a little. Everyone doing their part. But what are we going to use it for? It is so important. Number one, July 27 through 29, the Uproar Conference. Last year, we ministered to 900 teenagers. This year, we're taking it where? Into the arena. The first time going into the arena to have the gospel preach, it is going to be phenomenal. It is going to be over 1,000 teenagers. People are calling in and doing reservations already from all over the Northeast. Why? Because it is going to be the pinnacle youth conference of the entire Northeast section. How do we know that? They actually just closed one all the way out in another state on the East Coast. They were running like 3,000 or 4,000 teenagers. They closed their conference. And so there is no other major conference except for right here in Horseheads, New York. So we're going to have them come. I'm believing the Lord to have 5,000 teenagers in the next 3 years filling that arena. I want to pack the arena for the glory of God. Can I hear an amen? We're also going to do Rock the City again. Rock the City will be in the month of August, 24 through 26. Listen, last year we were at what park? Grove Park in Elmira. And let me tell you, they said you could hear the music, they could hear the preaching all the way across the bridge. They said they couldn't just hear it. It was clear. The gospel was being preached all over the city of Elmira. As we were down there, we fed almost 1,000 people. We gave away a car. We were able to, in fact, we have folks that come to the church now because of that outreach. And we saw 198 people confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This year is going to be even more phenomenal, too, because I believe in each time there's more increase. And what I'm excited is we're doing it in Horseheads, New York this year. We've never done anything in Horseheads like this. So we're going to do it at Thorn Park. It is going to be amazing. You know, we're going to have the big blow-up things for the kids to play with, what are the bouncy houses. And we're not going to give away a car this year. We're going to give away a cruise this year. And then what's going to be really awesome, Brother Teddy's coming with his band again. That's going to be cool. And then the last night will be fireworks. We're not talking puh. We're talking, they're going to be fireworks, man, down in Thorn Park. The church is going to create some fireworks for the glory of God. We're going to get them in. We're going to get and have them preach the gospel, have them hear the gospel of Jesus and be changed. And then many people don't realize, but we're going to have a Christian school next year in the fall. They closed the last Pentecostal Christian school in our region last year. We are going to have one K through 6 starting next fall. That's fall 2018. It'll be the only Pentecostal spirit-filled Christian school from K through 6 right here in Horseheads, New York at His Tabernacle Family Church. Come January, though, we're launching a preschool, a spirit-filled preschool for children. I love it when I say spirit-filled. I'm not ashamed of the whole gospel. I want these kids baptized in the Holy Ghost as young as possible. Can I hear an amen? So we're going to be launching that in January, and we're going to be incurring costs to make sure that we're legal according to New York State. And then, how many of you like the parking lot? Nobody likes the parking lot. Those who remember the dirt parking lot, how many of you love the parking lot? Now, for those who don't remember the dirt, you're saying, well, it's just a parking lot. No, we had a dirt parking lot for over, my goodness, how long has it been? I think it was like 15 years we had a dirt parking lot. Let me tell you, I'm so thankful for pavement. Glory to Jesus. But there's also maintenance on that. And this year, the maintenance went from last year, they wanted, I think it was $14,000 to do maintenance on the parking lot. Now they want $30,000 to do maintenance on the parking lot. And I just want you to know that we've got to keep God's house looking good. Can I hear an amen? We might not have a fountain in the foyer, but we got to make sure that what we've invested in will remain solid in investment. We would be bad stewards if we didn't fix our parking lot and it corroded and destroyed and we couldn't fix it. Can I hear an amen? So these are the things that we're going to be sowing into and investing into, and it's worth every penny. I love the fact we're going to change more lives this summer, I'm believing, than ever before for the glory of God. And then we're going to start the Christian school. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And then we're going to fix up the house of God so it looks purtiful. You like that? Amen. The Bible says in our verse for the year is Proverbs 11, verse 25, the generous soul shall be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. So I'm going to have the ushers pass out these pledge cards. If you'll pass them out real quickly with the offering envelopes. How many of you need one? You don't have one as of yet? Or does everybody have them already? Who has one? Who doesn't have one? Does everybody have them already? Very good. If you don't have one, raise your hand. The ushers are coming real quickly. On there, we're going to ask you to make a pledge between now and August 13th. There's a $50 pledge on there because some, that's a lot. And you know what? We just want you to obey the Holy Spirit. All the way up to $20,000 on there. And I know, I'm believing God, there. I know there's folk in the house that can write a $100,000 check. So whatever God lays on your spirit, I'm believing that we are going to see an abundance, abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine, in this generous campaign so we can fund the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Maybe you want to be one of the 500 adults. That's $25 a week. If that's you, just write that on the bottom, on the thing that you want to be part of that portion of the campaign. Now, moms and dads, I would encourage you to make sure your children are part of this. I trained my children to be part of this campaign, of every campaign. We started when they were 4 years old and teaching them about giving. And now my kids, man, I love the fact that they give and they are really good givers. And one thing is for sure, you can never outgive God. Now remember, if you have nothing to give, it means you've eaten your seed. God said he provides seed to the sower. So if there is no seed, it means you've eaten the seed. If you eat the seed, ask any farmer, if you eat all the seed, then you'll never have another harvest again. So be a sower for the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? Did everybody get one? We want to make sure everyone has one. And then I want to pray over you real quickly. Are you ready? Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of sowing into your kingdom. God, you're not a weak God. You're not a poor God. But Father, you want your children, who you've given the opportunity to be stewards with your finances, to sow back into your kingdom so that they may continue to prosper in all things and be in good health even as they prosper. God, I thank you that you are going to lay it on their hearts and that, Jesus, this need, Lord, this situation will be taken care of completely. Lord, I believe you could even do it today for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, if you're watching by live stream, you can actually get on our website, histabernacle.com, and go to Generous right up in the corner, and you can give right online. Amen? How can they give right now? We're going to have offering plates in the back, right back there. If you want to fill out your pledge card and drop it in, or bring it next week and put it in the offering plate, you can do it either or. But we're just believing the Lord. It's going to be just so fun. Amen? I can't wait for what Jesus is going to do this summer. I have a great blessing for you. My spouse, Rhonda Spencer, Rhonda Jean, is going to preach the gospel this morning. So let's welcome her to the pulpit.
Hallelujah. God is so good.
So last weekend, I took Sophia to Florida to see Corinne, and we had an awesome time. She's doing wonderful ministry down there. God is blessing her. But on the way home, as we're getting ready to land, you know the announcement comes across that everybody remain in your seats, keep your seatbelts securely fastened, no moving around the cabin, because we're preparing to land. So that announcement came, and we're sitting near the front, and a few minutes, well, probably 5 minutes after the announcement, Sophia looks at me and says, "Mammy, I gotta go potty." I was like, oh, no. And we had been circling for a little while, so I thought, you know, I'll just ask the steward if it's okay if we could squeeze it in real quick. And so I asked the man, and he said, no, you won't be able to do that. And Sophia turned and looked at me and said, "Mammy, the man said no." She just grumbled at being told no, but it was for our safety and for our protection that he had said that. And so sometimes I feel like in the church, we, "Pastor, God said no," and we crumble when we're told no. Or like Sophia, after we got out of the plane, she proceeded to tell everybody she encountered, "The man said no." When the word of God is spoken and tells us no, we need to receive discipline, correction, conviction, and even criticism. Sophia is a 2-year-old. We expect that from her. We are not. I have such a mama's heart that my desire is to train my children up not to be snowflakes. My desire is for them to be tough, to be strong, so that they'll be able to withstand. So I'm here today to just share with you actually what God taught me. First, I always love to bring what he's been teaching me, and that is that we need to toughen up. We are, as a church at large, so soft. God, when he tells us no in his word, doesn't do it to be mean to us. He doesn't get some kind of enjoyment out of saying no. He's not doing it to take anything away from us. He is doing it to save our lives. We're in a battle, and he has your best interest in mind all the time. But we're the army of God. We sang it this morning. We're in battle. We're in a race running to win. 2 Timothy 2:3-5 says, "Take with me your share of hardship, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service gets entangled in the affairs of civilian life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him to serve. And if anyone competes in an athletic game or competition, he is not crowned with victory unless he competes according to the rules." We are soldiers in the army of God. We're running a race to win. I want to make God proud that he chose me to be on his team. We need to make God proud for choosing us to be on his team. And you know what? You're equipped. You're perfectly qualified. You're good enough for the team. Don't allow any of those excuses to keep you on the bench. He chose you to be on his team, and he's equipped you with everything that you need. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought the good fight, and the worthy and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, firmly guarding against error." Guarding against error. The church has become so soft that preachers are actually afraid to speak the truth because it may hurt or offend some people. They actually walk on eggshells as to not really speak the truth, just kind of beat around the bush so nobody walks out hurt or offended. Not in this house. Not in this house, because you know what? I love you enough to tell you the truth. I wouldn't tell my children that they what they want to hear to keep them soft. You know, it's like on American Idol. When the mama's told that child their whole life that they sing like an angel, And so they believe it, and then they go on American Idol, and we get to hear them screech like an owl. We're going to tell you the truth in this house because we love you. If you're in a war and in a battle, do you think the general, the lieutenant, the sergeant that's on the front line giving commands is really going to stop and say, "Oh, Shannon, now I know you're a little bit fragile and maybe this is kind of scary and you don't really want to be here, but, you know, when you're ready, you can go ahead." No, you're on the front line of battle. The general, the commanding officer is going to say, "Go, stop, hold your ground, run." And your response is do or die. It's your life. He's saving your life. He's not being mean. He's not being cruel. He's saving your life. Family, we must toughen up. We enjoy so much encouragement and compliments, but we need to be thankful for discipline and correction and even malicious criticism. We can be thankful for that. Don't be a part of the culture that is so soft that it refuses any kind of correction, that runs from it, that chooses to be dull. Listen, this millennial generation right here, you're the army of God. I want you to be the strongest and the best ever. You know, every generation wants the next generation to be better than they were. And I'm speaking over this generation right now. You'll be better and you'll be stronger. You will not be weak. You will not be dull. You will not run from discipline and correction. I know our culture has created it that it's a bad word. Discipline's a bad, oh, we just gotta love them. We just gotta always tell them that everything's perfect and rainbows and flowers and you never strike out and everybody wins the trophy. It's a lie. It's not true. I'm not gonna tell you that. Matthew 13, 15 through 16 and Acts 28, 27 say the exact same thing, and they're repeating the prophecy from Isaiah. "For the hearts of the people have become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see and hear and understand and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear." You're blessed when you hear and obey God's word. But when you shut your ears up, you remain dull. You know, sometimes it's like you come to church and you hear a message that speaks to that area in your life that God's trying to work on. And then we walk out and say, I didn't hear anything. I don't know what you're talking about. As Pastor says, I distinctly remember forgetting that. You know, businesses actually pay people to correct them, to criticize, to scrutinize, to pick out every little thing that they pay people to come in and do that. But at the house of God, we're so soft, we don't even want to hear one thing that doesn't make us feel good or make us feel happy. But businesses, they got something on this. They want to become better. They want to become stronger. They want to advance. So what do? They hear correction. They take criticism. You know, we don't even have to pay for it. Sometimes they line up to criticize you, right? Sometimes they line up to give you that information. We don't even have to pay a dime. But we have to be tough enough to receive it, to hear it, to make us better, to make us stronger. The enemy would love for you to run and be hurt and be offended when the word of God points out something in your life. But what we need to do is we need to hear and receive it so that we will get stronger. This verse for today is Proverbs 27:17. as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. You get sharper and better through the influence and discussion and even the corrective, malicious criticism. You can use that piece of iron to just sharpen your own sword. Thank you very much. It didn't cost me anything. All I had to do was hear and be in a position to receive what was being said, even if it's negative. You can learn something about it. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. So you think that you're getting out of it, you're getting away with it by, oh, I didn't hear, la, 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 I didn't hear. No, you're only making yourself work harder. You're only going around the circle over and over and over again. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. Success comes when you sharpen that axe and you're willing to hear correction, discipline, conviction of the Holy Spirit. Pastor and I watch this show. We have to record it because we're not ever home at normal hours. So at the end of the day, he likes this show. It's called Forged in Fire. I actually could care less what we watch. It's just mindless stuff to me. But he watches the show. It's called Forged in Fire. And it's about blacksmithing, and they make weapons and swords and knives and stuff. And they all put it in the fire and do the quench, and they take their swords. And then the swords get tested. And when it comes time for the test, they're testing that sword to see if it's dull or sharp. They're testing that sword to see if it's strong enough to withstand, if it'll bend, or if it will break in battle. It is so important for us to make sure we remain sharp and strong when it comes to battle so that we are ready and we won't. And I love you enough to tell you that that means we're going to have to toughen up so that when you get to a place in battle, you don't end up being dull and it's not going to cut through. And you don't end up with a broken weapon that didn't get you to the end, to the win, to the victory. Nothing's worse than getting to the test portion of that. And they can't change it then. They don't get to go back and work on it. When they get to that final test portion, if it doesn't work, they don't win. We must remain teachable and receptive. Please, please hear me in this. At every level of your walk with Jesus, you have never attained it all. There is always something that God is working out in you. No, you are not perfect in every area of your life. Do not deceive yourself. I'm coming to you with truth today. There is always something that could be worked on inside of us. So remain teachable. Remain receptive. Get into Next Steps class. Get in. Always be learning. You're never above it. I love to sit and listen to other people speak. It encourages me. I learn. I get built. I get sharpened. We must always remain teachable and receptive where we could receive correction and discipline. Oh, those are words that our culture does not like. I mean, some of you millennials actually cringed when I said those words. Correction? Discipline? You mean I don't get to just choose wherever I feel the best at? The moment you stop listening, receiving, and learning, loyalty leaves you. You'll disconnect and you will become dull. The moment that you stop listening, receiving, and learning, you will become disloyal, you will disconnect, and you will be dull. And that is not what I want from my sons and daughters or anyone in this place. I want, when I send them out into life, I want them to win. I want them to be successful. When you're out there and you're on the front line of the battle, I don't want you to have a dull sword. I want it to be so sharp that it attacks anything that comes against you and that it doesn't fail you when you really, really need it. But when you keep uprooting a tree, I don't like this. I'm just going to pick up my tree and I'm going to go. The Word of God says that we need to be planted with roots that go down deep so that we can produce fruit in every season. In every season. He doesn't desire that there be any season of lack on the fruit on your tree. But when we get, oh, I'm so mad about this. I don't like that. I don't want to hear what the Word of God says. I don't like that. No, that doesn't mean me. Oh, I didn't hear that. We pick up our roots from our tree and we replant it over here. Oh, I guess it's going to work over here. Guess what? When you transplant a tree, you may have a season without any fruit. And guess what? You get so comfortable doing that, you may never grow roots because it's just too easy to keep picking up that tree and putting it back down. And then you're not strong. You're not getting better. You're not producing fruit. I love you and I want you to win. God, Father God, loves you, and he wants you to win. You may say, this is just who I am. I'm just an extra sensitive person. I can't help it. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority over every device of the enemy that nothing shall by any means harm you. So you might say, I'm extra sensitive, and you might be, but he's given you authority. He's given you the victory that nothing can harm you. God's word will save your life. There are going to be times where it's uncomfortable and you don't like what it says, and he tells you to stop, hold still, listen, go this way, turn around and go the other direction, and you don't like it. But when you choose to obey, you get sharper, you get better, you get stronger. God's word will save your life. It will transform in a moment. Jesus can change everything, and it will restore you. We need to learn to love his word, love conviction, correction, even criticism. Love it because it can save your life. Companies are so smart and that they pay to have this done. But yet the church of God, we're so soft, we don't want to hear it. We need to learn to love discipline, correction. It will save your life. We can get to the place where we are even so soft that conviction, God speaking to our heart that something is wrong, becomes a hurt and a wound in our life. And then we say, the church hurt me. Then we go around and tell everybody, the church hurt me. No, the church told you the truth, and it's trying to save your life. The word of God will save your life. Don't be soft about it. You're not supposed to like everything that's in it. Actually, he says that his word will offend us. It will offend us. You're not always going to like what it says, but you can't be soft about it. You'll never win if you only ever hear things that you want to hear that make you comfortable or happy. It is an off balance if all you ever hear is that encouragement and sunshine and flowers and you sing perfectly. It's off balance when the truth, correction, and discipline isn't there, and you won't win. You won't have the strength that it requires in battle to win. We need to learn to love it. Love it enough that even like business, they love it enough that they put their money towards it. Christian strong. We need to be Christian strong. I don't always like what the Word of God says. I don't like when the Word of God tells me I have to be good to those who despitefully use me. That's not fun. But it's what the Word of God says. Why? Because He knows it will make me stronger. He knows it will make me better. He knows that it will save my life. He knows what is best for us. We need to trust that He has our best interest in life. And when we do that, when we obey His Word, even when we don't like it, we get to walk in abundant life. We get to walk in peace that passes all understanding. People will not be able to understand why you're walking in peace in the middle of that storm. You won't be able to understand why I have this peace right now in the middle of this storm. But that's what the strength from obedience to the Word of God produces in our lives. I want to hear every discipline, every ordinance, every correction, because I know it's making me better and stronger. So go ahead with that suggestion box. It's perfectly fine with you. You know what? Companies don't put those out because they actually think you're going to put positive suggestions in there. They know that you're going to put your hate mail in there. It's their way of learning how to be better and stronger. It's okay. It's good. You're getting better. You're getting stronger. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, and the Amplified says, "And you have forgotten the divine word of encouragement, which is addressed to you as sons." I love this. Look it. God calls discipline encouragement. See how contrary it is to our thoughts and our ways? Discipline is your encouragement. Lying to you is not encouragement. It does not build anything inside of you that is strong enough to withstand. So he says, divine word of encouragement addressed to you as sons and daughters. My son and daughter, do not make light of the discipline of the Lord, and do not lose heart and give up when you are corrected by Him. Pastor, God said no. Mammy, God said no. Do not give up when you are corrected by Him, for the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom He loves. I know our culture has misconstrued what love is. Maybe we don't even know what love is because we've never had an example of it. This right here explains what love is. He loves you, therefore He disciplines you. The stove is hot. Don't touch it. Don't go any further down that road. It's a dead end. It's a cliff. You'll fall off the edge. It's love that corrects you and disciplines you. And He punishes punishment. This is encouragement. He said this is encouragement. And He punishes every son and daughter whom He receives. You know what's so exciting about discipline and correction? First, you know you're loved. Second, you know you are a son and daughter of God. When He has loved you enough to correct you and discipline, I get excited about that. That doesn't cause me to crumble and weaken. That strengthens me. That gives me fortitude to know that He calls me son and daughter. You must submit to correction for the purpose of discipline. God is dealing with you as sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom his father does not discipline? And the end of that says, so strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that tremble. That's saying, toughen up. Toughen up. Toughen up because I love you. You're my sons and daughters. I want you to win. I want you to be strong. I want you to get better. I want every battle that you face for you to come out a victor. So love the strengthening discipline in yourself and others. Here's an area that we can be so soft that it bothers us when somebody else is receiving discipline and correction of the Lord. Sometimes it causes our sword to get dull and break because we're so offended at somebody else's strengthening and love. When I was younger, when my siblings would get disciplined, I hated it. I couldn't stand it. It would make me upset. And when my husband would have to step in and discipline our children, I couldn't stand it. It's not fun. But we have to know it's for their own strengthening and quickening and fortitude. It's a good thing. But do not get offended. Do not get hurt when someone else is getting sharpened, when somebody else is getting stronger. Don't take offense for them. Rejoice for them. This is encouragement. This is love. This is sonship. This is being a daughter. Don't keep others soft around you, and don't run with anyone who wants to keep you soft with them. Because you know people that aren't willing to strengthen themselves want to keep everybody down with them. Oh, you don't have to really obey what God says. I didn't hear it like that. They want to keep you soft. Don't run with people that want to keep you soft. We need to get better and we need to get stronger. But birds of a feather flock together. Toughen up, family. Toughen up. You get the best fruit when a tree is pruned. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And listen to this. This is so good. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, it's bearing fruit. It's good. You're doing great. That's awesome. Yay. He repeatedly prunes. Sunday after Sunday, he's pruning away at us. Every morning when we're opening the Word of God and reading the Scripture, he's repeatedly pruning away. That doesn't mean you're doing bad. That means you're doing good. And listen to the result. So that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer. So every time you're receiving discipline, correction, conviction, and criticism, my fruit is just getting better and finer. I am just getting stronger and sharper. And actually, we shouldn't just sit back and wait to be pruned. We need to ask for it. Those businesses, man, don't let them be smarter than the sons and daughters of God. Bring it on, God. Bring on the criticism, people. Bring on your correction, God. I need it. I want it. I love it. Don't sit back and wait for it. Ask God. If there be any wicked way in me, Lord, reveal it. And create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. It'll only make you better and stronger. Psalm 66:10-12 tells us, we went through the fire and through the water, forged in fire. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. It is a place of victory. It is a place of success on the other side when we're willing to be disciplined and corrected and actually from going this way, turn around and start going the other way. There is abundance at the end of that. You will come out stronger, blessed. You'll have favor. You'll have that peace. You'll have joy when we allow discipline and correction. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, those who have been trained by it, those who allow it to train them, afterwards it yields peace. Oh, that's what we want in life, isn't it? We want peace. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we go for the false peace in thinking, if I don't hear it, I'm actually walking in peace. La, 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 la. I didn't hear it. You're not walking in peace. You're still on that path to destruction. So those that are trained by it get to walk in perfect peace. Obeying God's word will produce peace beyond our own understanding. It's not taking anything away from you. It is not taking anything from you. He is not trying to be a fun sucker. He is not trying to destroy you. He wants to make you stronger and better. That's what we want, stronger and better. He strengthens you and perfects you and makes you whole. But when we walk away and say, no, God, I can't do that thing that you've asked. It's too much. Then there's no peace. Then there's no peace. We'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. No roots, no stability, no fruit being produced. But when we choose to obey, man, when the storms come and the winds blow, we will be solid, we will be strong, we will be strengthened, and in every season, we get to walk in favor and abundance. So toughen up. I want you to walk in that place. Abba, Father God wants you to walk in that place. James 1, 3 through 4, we're going to end with this. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Don't be deceived in thinking you're going to maturity when you will not hear correction, when you only run to what tickles your ears and makes you, that will not bring you to maturity. Right here, endurance. Endurance brings you to maturity and inner peace, a peace that not anything, no criticism, no scrutiny, nothing can touch that peace because it didn't, they do not hold the purse strings to your peace. It didn't come from them. They have no control over it. And let endurance have its perfect result to do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed, lacking in nothing. Isn't it awesome? You get to be perfect and lacking in nothing when we continually allow him to prune us. When we hear discipline and correction, it brings out perfection. You know, I could have a plastic sword up here and it looks like a sword, but it doesn't function like a sword. Even on that show, there's some of those guys, they do all the steps, but they don't do them right. They don't do them according to the directions, and they come up with a beautiful finished product that doesn't work. But when we choose to do the hard thing in the moment and sign ourselves up, go ahead, God, prune me, then we get the finest fruit. We get the best. We're stronger. We're better, and nothing can take us out. We'll win every time in battle. So toughen up, family. We're getting stronger, we're getting sharper, and we're getting better. Never stop learning. Never stop receiving the Word of God at any level. The Word of God says even the elect may be deceived. So please, please, please hear me. At any level, we need to always hear, learn, receive, obey, take discipline and correction, even if it's meant for maliciousness. Nope, just say thank you. Thank you for that hard thing, that piece of iron, because I'm just going to go over here and sharpen my iron on it. Thank you for that stone. I'm not going to stumble over it. I'm going to step up on it and use it. I needed it to get across to the other side. Thank you. I'm getting better. And I'm getting stronger. How about you? Amen. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes real quickly in this place. Maybe you came here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life. He wants to come in and be your best friend, to sharpen you, to make you better, to make you stronger. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is an awesome God. If that's you in this place, or maybe you used to serve God, but somewhere along the line, you got dull, and you just want to recommit your life to God. If that's you in this place, if you've never received him, and if you've walked away and become dull and you want to recommit, I just want you to raise your hand in this place this morning and just ask for Jesus to come in and be the Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly. We're not going to wait long. Awesome. I believe everybody in this place has asked Jesus into their lives. Now stand to your feet with me. We're going to just take a moment. Nobody leaving, nobody moving around, nobody distracting the person next to you. When the word of God goes forth, it accomplishes what it was sent to do. So right now, it's going to accomplish what it was sent to do. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask, Lord, I love correction and discipline. I want you to come in and prune whatever needs to go out of my life, even if it looks good, so that I can get the finer fruit, so that I can get better and that I can get stronger. And as you're asking that, it's probably already come up. You already know what it is. You already know what it is that he's working on. I want you to choose today to go through the fire, to be quenched in the water, to get stronger and better, and leave that thing. Turn from it and go the opposite direction. Abundant life and victory, strength, and the win lies in doing that. So whatever it is, I want you to choose today to let that thing go and obey God and watch him show up. Watch your shiny sword wield and flash light and be strong and be sharp. So we're just going to leave those things right here, and we're never going back to them again. We are getting better and stronger. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Thank you that we have choice today. Thank you that we choose to leave anything that separates us from you, any evil way inside of us, any wrong thought or thinking inside of us. Right now, Father God, we allow you to prune off that branch, to take that extra piece so that I can get to the finer and better. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're a guest in the house today, please meet us down this hallway for a guest reception. We would love to greet you.
Stronghold, sickness, and poverty must cease, for the devil